we left off last week, we were discussing the Gemara's question about the relationship between Avos and Toldos within Ezekiel. We spent a lot of time in the previous shiurim talking about Avos and Toldos outside of Ezekiel, and now we get back to that main thrust of our sugya. What is the relationship between the two? So the Gemara has somewhat of a startling shaila. Gemara wants to know, Toldosem kayotze behem? Or Toldosem lav kayotze behem? Are the Toldos like the Avos or not like the Avos? The question is, what does that mean? What are the two sides of that shaila? So Rashi seems to say that there's two sides are very simple. Are the Toldos chayev or the Toldos potter? But the Rif doesn't say anything so simple, because the Rif, when he introduces that ibaya, that question to Gemara, the Rif starts giving you a whole shiur klali about all the different exemptions of Ichud Hazikin. That Shuratam pays only half, and this one is potter here, and this one's potter there. And the Rif sticks in all those details into the question, chayotze or lav chayotze, which led us to believe last week that what the Rif is learning is as follows, that of course the Toldos are chayev. That wasn't a question. And proof positive they're chayev, but they wouldn't be chayev. So why are they called Toldos in the first place? It's a totally insignificant name for them. We're not going to be chayev. So of course they're going to be chayev. The shayla of the Gemara was, to what degree are they going to be chayev? Are they going to be chayev carrying with them all the details, all the exemptions, all the pturim of the others? Or somehow could we construct a new category, namely that you're chayev, and you're not entitled to all the pratim, all the details of that particular av, where you ultimately emanate from. So that's how the Brisker Rav sized up the Rif's understanding of the Gemara. It's not a question like Rashi, chayev versus potter. Rather, it's a question of course, chayev, but what type of chayev is it? Is it subject to all the details and exemptions of the av, or does it take on its own category? So we left off with a question last week, is that, well, how can that be? How does that make any sense? That if you're telling me that it's chayev, so you're basically committing yourself to deriving from the av. If you're committing to yourself to deriving from the av, how could it be any different from the av? So it's very strange, it's sad, to understand chayev, yes, but somehow details of the av, no. So the basis to understand the Shittas HaRif may have its source in the 8th of the Mar Mekomos, the Sugya in Masechet Bava Kama, Davav Amid Aleph. The Gemara has the following discussion. The Mishnah on Davbeis had listed off the Arba Avos Nezikin, and then the Mishnah gave a sweeping statement that Atzara Shav Shabahem, the principle, that basically the common denominator of all the different Avos, are the fact that it's your property and you're responsible to watch it, and therefore you're chayev. So that phrase, Atzara Shav Shabahem, an all-sweeping statement, seems to indicate that there are more things there and meet the eye. There are other examples of cases that you're chayev on, even though they're not literally a shor, not literally a bor, not literally a maven, not literally a hever. They're not literally one of the four categories, but some of them are also chayev. So what are these phantom cases that the Mishnah is alluding to? So lasuyemai, what is it coming to include? So amrabai, lasuy avano sakina omaso, sheinichon berosh gago, v'naflu baruch betsuyev hiziku. So the Gemara says it must be coming to include the following case. I left a rock, or I left a knife, or I left a package on the top of my roof, and the wind came and caused these items to damage. So let's take a step back for a minute and try to analyze what we're coming, where we're coming from, what type of mazik are we talking about. So we have to go back to the ABCs, back to Pesukim ben Chumash and Bashas Mishpatim. The Torah presents to us two examples of avos, one being bor and one being esh. Now, bor and esh are similar to one another in the sense that they're inanimate objects, or not even an object, really, that's causing damage. So it's not quite the same as my animal damaging. On the other hand, they are very different from one another. If we had to describe what exactly is the characteristic of bor and what exactly is the characteristic of esh, so we would probably focus on as follows, that esh, the very characteristic, the very essence of esh, is something that came about through some other kind of a force. That means I lit my fire in my backyard. I wasn't all that careful. Then a wind came and swept the fire away and caused damage. That's what the Gemara calls a koach acher me'urav bo. That there's another force, there's another factor that's assisting the damage to take place. That's the mazik of esh. So whenever we speak about a potential told of esh, we have to keep our eyes on the ball. We have to look for that koach acher me'urav bo, which is the identifying feature of esh. What is the identifying feature of a bor? So again, let's not focus so much on digging holes. Don't focus so much about animals falling into pits. Those are examples of esh. Those are illustrations. That's the case of bor the Torah depicts as the model. But that's not really the essence of what bor is. What the essence of bor is that tchilas asiyasa l'nezek. It means from its very creation, it was already a troublemaker. It means an eish, by contrast, is not really a troublemaker when you start. I'm having a barbecue. So we're having a nice barbecue. If you keep it careful, you keep it everything under control, so that's great. I have a lot of light fires in my backyard. What's wrong? Or other kinds of mazikin, sure. An animal is not per se a troublemaker. If I keep my animal locked up, so then it's fine. A boar, by very definition, you're ready to get off on the wrong foot. I said, what are you doing digging a hole in the middle of the street? I said, you're asking for trouble. It's tchil sasiyos l'nezek. So when we speak about the parsha of boar, don't get bogged down in the details of digging holes and uncovering manholes and digging, you know, bringing in, you know, animals, tripping. Those are details. That's an illustration of boar. But the underlying principle of boar is really that idea of tchil sasiyos l'nezek. It's with those two introductions that we can begin to analyze Abaye's new case. Abaye said, what would the halacha be if I put up a rock, I put up a knife, I put up a package on the top of the roof, and then they fell in a ruach metzuya, in a normal wind, so I can't claim that I didn't expect this to happen, a normal wind, and then v'hiziku, and they caused damage. So Abaye says, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is alluding to that case, you would be chayev. So the Gemara says, wait a second, let's get the details of the case properly. Hechidam, so the end of the first line, and the eighth in the Rambam comes, hechidam, what is the case? If these objects are damaging, literally in flight, as they're going, I left a rock on top of the roof, and the rock goes down, and as it's on the way down, it smashes into something. Hainu eish. That is a classic example of eish. Why is that? There's no fire here. Why is that called eish? Very simple. Maishna eish. What's the difference? Eish to kochacham urabo. Let's look at the underlying characteristics of eish. Don't get bogged down with flames and things of that nature. Those are just details. But the fundamental principle of eish is kochacham urabo. There's another force that's assisting. Umamoncha, and it happens to belong to you. Hopefully, as sugyas go on in a couple of weeks, we'll get a little bit back to this idea. Just how important is it that the fire belongs to you? What would the halacha be if I go ahead and I steal somebody's flame, so to speak, and I go ahead and I burn down somebody, a third person's house? So we're going to get to that hopefully in weeks to come. But right now, we'll just take the Gemara at face value that the Eish is kochachem urabo. There's another force present, umamoncha, and it's quote unquote my property, ushmiras alecha. And obviously, I have to watch it. I can't just light fires and just be negligent. So haninami. So these cases of the avanos gina masel that were left on top of the roof and damage in flight, kochachem urban. Umamoncha, Ushmiras Solecha, they have three strikes against them. They're classic Eish. So the Gemara says, I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that these things are included. These are told us of Eish. These are Avos Bechal Dika told us. We already, this Gemara is on Davav, so we already know for five lot that Avos Bechal Dika told us. So if the package, the knife or the stone, is damaging in flight, it's just classic told of Eish and nothing to discuss. So the Ella, maybe no. Maybe what the case is as follows. Bosa Denaichi. Not that the object damaged while in motion, like a fire, but rather it fell on the ground, and then an hour later, somebody tripped on this package, somebody tripped on this rock, somebody tripped on this knife. So the Gemara says, really? What do I need a Mishnah to tell me that I'm chayav? This is a classic tolda of something else. What is it a classic tolda of? So the Gemara says, Ida afkarinu, if I was subsequently mafkarit, I had my rock, it was my knife, it was my package, I left it on the roof, it fell down, and then I walked by and said, I'm not going to get this anymore, forget it, it's hefker. Bein l'rab, bein l'shmul, had a bar. The Gemara is referencing a very important machlokes, we're going to hopefully talk about it again in sugyas to come. According to all opinions, this is a bar. This is a classic bar. How is this a bar? Maishna bar, what's the difference between a bar? She gained chilas asiyas l'nezek. A bar from day one exhibited carelessness. These items that were left on the roof, that was an act of carelessness. What are you leaving a rock on the top of the roof for? So tchilas asiyas l'nezek, umamon choshmiras olecha. So it has all the traits of boar. So haninami, tchilas asiyas l'nezek, umamon choshmiras olecha. So basically the Gemara says that this case of Abaye is depicting this new case, that somehow the Mishnah is being miramis, so the Mishnah is alluding to some new scenario of a rock that was left on the roof and fell down. The Gemara is trying to pinpoint, what's the case? Did it damage in flight? I don't need Abaye for. That's Eish. If it damaged after it fell, after we were already mafkarit, I don't need Abaye for. That's classic boar. So then the Gemara says, El Delo Afkaridu. Maybe the case is, on the top of the back page, Maybe the case is that I wasn't mafkirit. If I wasn't mafkirit, maybe one could argue, if it's still mine, maybe that's not bor. Maybe the model of bor is only like a person digging in the street where it's not really his property anyway. Maybe it's different from bor. Again, we're streamlining this sugi right now because this issue of mafkirit, not mafkirit, does the bor belong to you, not belong to you, this is something we can hopefully talk about in great detail in weeks coming up. The Gemara says that doesn't make a difference. The Shmuel diyamakulmi bor lamad ohayna bor. Again, the Gemara is referencing Shmuel's opinion that these are all bor. So the bottom line is we're back to square one. We don't have a case. We're looking for some new fangled, some new razzle dazzle mazi bor leaving a rock on the roof and the rock damaging. The Gemara says it's not new fangled. It's the old story. If it's in motion, it's eish. If it fell on the ground, it's bor. What's new? The Gemara says no. The olam diyafkuvin. The Gemara says not so simple. For lo damu labor. Malabor shekein koach achem urav bo tome bahani shekoach achem urav behen. The Gemara says, wait a second. I left the rock on the roof, and it fell down with a wind, and an hour later somebody tripped on it. So you want to label that as a bor. You want to say, oh, that's easy. I don't need a bai. I don't need a mishnah for that. That's a classic told of bor. Not so simple. Because this mazik has a characteristic that bor is lacking, and it's an important characteristic, namely, bor came about all by itself. I mean, I dug the pit. I didn't have any assistance. There was no wind. There was no other forces of nature that helped me. I took a shovel and I dug the pit. Or told the bor, I take a banana peel, put it on the ground. I pour water on the ground, somebody trips on it. Those are classic examples of bor. Here, it only came about through a koch hachamurabo. It only came about through the wind. So that's not exactly the same. Told us have to be very, very similar to avos. And here it's missing that characteristic of bor came about by its own. Here, a koach hachamurabo was involved. So the Gemara says, Toma bahanish koach hachamuraben. So the Gemara says, you're right. Eish tochiach. So Eish will dispute that argument. Namely, you want to argue that maybe the only time a mazik is chayav, if there's no koach hachamurabo, that's wrong. Because proof positive, Eish. The Torah also describes the mazik of Eish. So you thought that that characteristic of lack of koach hachamurabo is so important, you disproved Eish techiach. Gemara says, wait a second. Mal Eish ken darch lech lehazik. You cannot derive from Eish because Eish is on the move. Eish is something that's mazik that damages in flight, in motion. Whereas this bor, this rock, this package, this knife is damaging in a stationary position. So it's not Eish either. Gemara says, you're right, it's not Eish either. Bor tochiach. But bor shows you that you can be chayef for something even that's stationary. So do we realize now the direction the Gemara is going? We've created a new case that's not quite bor, that's not quite Eish. It's lacking characteristics of either one of them. Because bor, on the one hand, is something which is completely of your doing. There's no koach hachamurabo. Eish, on the other hand, is something that's damaging in motion. This case is nishteh nishteh. It's not quite classic bor. It's not quite classic Eish. And therefore, the Gemara says, it's not a told of bor, and it's not a told of Eish. And it's still chayev. How is it still chayev? That's what's called a tzad hashoveh. Tzad hashoveh means that one of the midah shatani dreshes is that you can derive something from a combination of cases. The Torah speaks about case A, and the Torah speaks about case B, and case A and B are different from one another, but there is a common denominator behind them, and if that common denominator is present in case C, then case C can be derived from A and B. That's a tzad hashoveh or mahatzad, it's all the same thing, that you have to identify which feature exists in both. And if that feature exists in A and B, even though A and B are different, A has some things B doesn't have, B has some things A doesn't have, but the bottom line is they do have one thing in common, and C also has that, then C is derived from a combination of A and B. That's exactly what happens here. So we had a blackboard, we draw it out. A has properties A, B, and C. And Bor has properties X, Y, and Z. Some are the same, some are not. But the common denominator of both is, it's yours, you set it up, you have to watch it, you're responsible, and guess what? You have to pay. So too, the person who left his rock on the roof, wind came, blows it down, somebody trips on it an hour later. Can we say with a straight face, that's Eish? No. Eish is moving, it's not moving. Can we say with a straight face, this is Bor? No. Bor doesn't have koach hachamurabo, this one did. We cannot call it Eish, we cannot call it Bor, and we can still say Echayev. And that's the principle of a tzad hashoveh, and that's what the Mishnah means, and that's what a Bayit case is all about.
Go ahead. Does this become an av?
Oh, okay. Oh, wait. Not only does it not become an av, we're not even sure what to call it in terms of a tolda, because it's nishta nishta here. It's nishta tolda of eish, nishta tolda of or. So we're not sure what to call it. An av it can't be, because it has to be written in the pasuk in chumash to be called an av.
If you understand this, is the point of negligence is when you decided to leave it there. There's not when you decided to leave it on the top, after it fell and you said, I don't care about this anymore. So then it's already, it's munach, it's there, and at that point you're negligent because you left it there. Now, at this point, there's not kochach and morbo. It's sitting there, and you're leaving it there.
Excellent, but the person can be chayev even though he doesn't even know it fell. Because there was a point of negligence, just leaving it on the top in a place, knowing full well that it's a windy day outside, that itself is an act of negligence. So even if he never even found out that it fell, he would still be chayev. So this is a very, very tricky situation. I would not call this an av. I would be very hesitant to call it a classic tolda either. We'll have to use a new phrase. We could call it a compound tolda. It's a tolda which is really combined from two others. Now the question is, what does that mean practically for us? So if we take a look at the ninth in the Maamar Kamos, the Rush quotes a major machlekes of Rishonim, which is ultimately going to become the background for our discussion, try to understand Shita Zerif and Asugya. The Rush quotes two radically different positions about how to view in Halacha these compound toldos. There are some Rishonim of Rin, we don't know who they are, some anonymous Rishonim, who wrote as follows. The Lo Michayev Ela Masha Chayev Bishneim. Says the Rosh, the name of these Yesh Magdolim, very logically, that since this new scenario is derived from a compound, from a combination of Eish and Bor, it has to take on all the halachic ramifications of both of them. Namely, if there would be a particular detail in Huchas Bor that would be Potter, then this case would have to be Potter. If there would be a particular detail in Huchas Eish that would be Potter, then this case would have to be Potter as well. Because after all, this case, this new scenario of a rock on top of a roof, falling down in the wind, damaging an hour later, is ultimately getting its strength from the combination of Eish and Bor, that it can't be any stricter than Eish and or Bor. So if there's any case out there that Eish happens to be Potter, this is going to have to be Potter. If there's any case out there that Bor is going to be Potter, this is going to have to be Potter. So this new case is, in a sense, going to get the best of both worlds. It's going to get all possible Peturim, because after all, it has, in a sense, two fathers. It's got two of us. So it's a tolda, but it's not a direct tolda. It's not only a tolda of Eish, and not only a tolda of Bor.
What would this get the worst of both worlds?
I mean, it should be chayv in all cases. Yeah. Okay, so the Rosh's Yesh and Gedolim are starting out with the assumption that it's almost like dial of omen didn't leoskin either. How could something be more chomer than where it came from? So if the whole reason you know it's chayev, if not for the parasha Bor, this would walk away scot free. If not for the parasha Eish, this would walk away scot free. So what does that mean practically? So says the Rush. Listen to all the coolers that this gets. Lo mechayev ala masha chayev b'shnem uptir miniske kelim. So first of all, if somebody's vessel, somebody's utensils get damaged by this rock, you're potter. You know why? Because Bor happens to be Potter on Kalim. Xeris Akosov, Shchamor Velo Kalim. So if somebody's animal, let's say, falls into a pit and it has some fancy, expensive dishes on it, and the dishes break, you're not Chayav to pay. So this kind of a case will be Potter on Kalim as well. Umi Misas Adam. And if somebody would get killed from this contraption that you left on the roof and fell down and somebody tripped it and got killed, it would be potter kama bor. Yeah, we're not saying the guy is going straight to Gan Eden for this act of pshia, but in terms of technically, is he potter? It's potter because bor is not chayef for mises adam. So those are all the bor kulas. And now umitamun, and you would be potter if the item that got damaged was hidden away, was what's called tamun. The halacha happens to be kama beish. That let's say I light a fire in my backyard, and the fire spreads and burns down your property, and it burns down a whole pile of grain. And inside that pile of grain, hidden away, was $100,000. I'm potter, because that's what's called tamun. So again, I'm not saying we're going straight to Gan Eden for that either. I'm not saying you have to pay, let's say, Sdei Shemai. That's a whole other discussion. But in terms of technically speaking, there's exactly also that Eish is potter for tamun. So says the Rosh, Yesh Magadolim will say, this case gets the best of both worlds. It's potter for all the Bor Pturim, and it's potter for all the Eish Pturim. From Eish, they came with the Asa B'matzad, because after all, since it comes, it's being derived from a combination of the two, you have to, by definition, get the Kal of both. V'yesh shenistavku b'davar. And there are other Rishonim, other phantom Rishonim, who weren't so sure that this is true. V'li nira, and the Rosh says, the chol din bor yeshlam. The Rosh says, not only do I not think the first ones are not right, I don't think the yesh shenistavku are right. I'm convinced, says the Rosh, these are just plain and simple bor, no more, no less than bor, and therefore they carry with them all the kulas of bor, but they have the chumras of bor also. And again, you have to plug in what those are: potter and kalim, but chayv and tamun. So we have a major machlokes now. The Rishonim, the first opinion that the Rosh quotes, who was convinced that it gets all the pterim of both. Then you have yesh shenistavku, others who weren't as convinced, and the Rosh says, "I'm convinced, all right." In the other direction, I'm convinced that they do not get all the kulas, but rather they just follow the regular rules of bor.
Both, and Eish also.
No, according to the Rosh, Cholden Bor Yeshlam, only Bor, only Bor. So the question is, what exactly is the root of this machlokes? What exactly, what are the details, what are they arguing about? So if you would ask me, I would say that the first opinion is the most logical opinion, Yesh Ben Gedolim. Because, well, the Yesh Ben Gedolim are telling you, if you couldn't get a Chi of Mamon without a combination of Eish and Bor, so how in the world could it be more Chomer than Eish and Bor? So really the Rosh has to explain himself. The Rosh has to explain why is it so posh to him that it covers the, it carries the rules of Bor, and somehow Eish got ignored in the process. But after all, we need Eish in order to get the Chiyuv, so how somehow did the Pturim of Eish disappear? So we're not going to read the whole Brisker Rav inside, those who have some time today. It's beautiful. The Brisker Rav doesn't need my approval. It's a beautiful, beautiful shtickle from the Brisker Rav and the Rambam, the beginning of Ilchus Deskei Mamon. But basically, what the Yesod of the Brisker Rav is as follows. When we speak about something being chayav to pay for mazik in classic brisker style, there are two halachas. There are two dinim. When we make a statement that you're chayav to pay because your fire burnt out somebody's house, you're chayav to pay because your boar damaged somebody, you're chayav to pay because your animal ate somebody's fruit, so there are really two distinct statements that we're making. Number one, we're talking about what we call a chayav mamon klali, a din mazik klali, namely dollars and cents. Do you have a chi of mamon to reimburse the person or not? We're not focusing on specifics. We're not saying you're an Aish, you're a boy, you're a Shane, you're a regular, you're a Karen. You got to remember Kavod HaBeis for that. Tachlis, was your mamon mazik? Bottom line is, you caused the hefsid mamon. At the end of the day, because of your actions, or because of your animal's actions, which are an extension of you, because of reason X, Y, and Z, and quite frankly, I don't even care what the details of X, Y, and Z is. At the end of the day, this guy suffered a loss of money. At the end of the day, you were the one who set this into motion. You have a chiyuv to pay. That's the chiyuv of mazik. That's it. That's question number one. That's din number one. Din number two is, now the Torah speaks about very, very specific categories of mazik. Not all mazikim are created equal. There's a bora mazik, and there's an eisha mazik, and there's a sheina mazik, and a regular mazik, and other mazik, and a kerena mazik. There are a lot of details of specific categories. Within each specific category, there are details as to certain pturim that the Torah builds into the system. So some pturim the Torah builds into the system, for example, bor is potter on kalim, eish is potter on tamu, shein regla potter on shisarab, short tam is potter on half nezek, if it's keren. So there are very, very specific details that are built into specific avos of nezikim. Says the Brisker Rav, those two categories, those two different mechayvim, so to speak, the din klali of mamon mazik and the din prati of specific category, don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. You can theoretically have one without the other. You could be chayav to pay for something, but not necessarily fit one specific category. And if you don't fit that specific category, then you don't get the pturim of that category. So just because you're chayav to pay doesn't necessarily mean that we've labeled you a specific din prati. There is a possibility out there of din number one existing without din number two existing. Comes the Brisker Rav and says, when the Gemara is having a whole pilpul on the Avraham Bava Kama, the Gemara we just read, to try to figure out this crazy case, if a guy puts a rock on the top of the roof, and now it falls down in the wind, and now it falls on the floor, and now it causes damage an hour later, the Gemara is trying to figure out, Chaya Potter, what is the Gemara discussing? Says the Brisker Rav, what the Gemara is discussing, is this a Mechayev Mamun? Is this a Chiyev in the first place? Is this even the Parsha of Mazik? Because after all, it's so different from every case of Mazik that the Torah describes. It's Nish Eish, it's Nish Bor, it's not Karen, it's not Shein, it's not Rebbe, it's not Oda, it's not a thing. Why should, We have a rule in halacha, patur to proven chayef. Everyone's innocent to proven guilty. So the starting point is, unless you can somehow tell me a reason why the person has to pay, he's not going to have to pay. So the Gemara is analyzing Parshas Mishpatim and trying to figure out, is there a chiyuv mamon in this case or not? The Gemara is discussing aspect number one. The Gemara is discussing the din klali. Is this called the chiyuv mazik klali or not? That is the source of the discussion on Dav Vav. Is there a chiyuv mazik klali or not? Once we've ascertained that there is, how do we figure it out? One of the midah shetana dreshes b'hem has helped us along the way. There's a midah called atzara shaveh. And we realize that from a combination of Aish and Bor, we came up with the fact that the person's chayav to pay. So we've ascertained on the Vav that yes, the person's chayav to pay. Which category is it? We didn't discuss yet. That's not the Gemara on the Vav. The Gemara's not even talking about that. The Gemara's not addressing which category it is. The Gemara is addressing, is it chayav to pay or not? Question number two, we now have to look at this case and see. There's no such thing as belonging to two of us. You can't be part of two teams at the same time. That idea that I told you before, compound av, compound toda, I made that term up. It doesn't exist, says the Biskarov. You either belong, you're in team A, or you're in team B. We know you're chayev. That we already proved. That's what the Sada Shava told me, that you're chayev. Now I want to know, which team are you part of? Let's use common sense. Let's look at it. Let's take a look and see. There's a rock on the floor, and somebody tripped on the rock. What do you think that's closer to? Misvar Rishona. What do you think that's closer to? You think that's closer to Aish? I mean, it's true that the rock got here because it fell off the... It has certain, maybe, you know, very, very stretched capacity. But the bottom line is, it's much closer to Bor than to Aish. Therefore, the Rosh is good. Therefore, the Biskros is good. So we just labeled that you are Bor. Now, we know that we couldn't have made you Chayev until we had the Parsha Veish, because if not for the Parsha Veish, we never would have figured out Yechayev in the first place. That's true. But that got us to the point of saying Yechayev. That didn't get us to the point of which after label you have. Says the Brisker Rav, the punchline according to the Rush, the Pturim emanate from which team you're on. The Pturim emanate from which category we put you into, which list we put you onto. The fact that I needed Aish to get you to be Chayev that didn't quality, that's not doing anything. That's irrelevant. That created the chi of mamon. That doesn't create the category. The specific category of mazik, that was figured out based on sechel yosh, based on common sense, and it's clear as day, you're much more boar oriented than you are aish oriented, and therefore the Rosh says, v'li nira d'chol din boar yesh lahem. Boar is what you got the pturim of the boar, but what you don't have, you don't have any pturim of aish. So this Yisod, the Biskarov now tells us that there are two halachas. Every time you deal with a mazik, you have to ask yourself two questions. Is there a din klali, a chayev altogether? And then din two, once we've asked a din yachayev, let's figure out what your details are. Says the Biskarov, that's the suffer of the Gemara according to the Rif. Toldosem ka yotzim alach yotzim. Of course a told is chayev. If it wouldn't be chayev, why is it called a told for? Of course told is a chayev. But what the Gemara had it out to say is that toldos a chayev, namely, din one applies to them, but not necessarily din two. Namely, your chayev, that's a general statement of mamon. Just as your chayev for case A, your chayev for case B, your chayev als mamon hamazik. Because at the end of the day, what's the difference whether you cause somebody to have said mamon through digging a hole in the street or dropping a banana peel on the floor? At the end of the day, the guy suffered a hefsid mum because of what you did. So there's no question you're chayev. That wasn't the suffix. Like a Rashi, that wasn't the suffix. Of course you're chayev. What the Gemara wants to know is, when the Torah is mechadish to us, the din that told us a chayev, told us sam kayotze behen, does that mean that dropping a banana peel is mamish a bor? It falls into category A, category bor, and therefore carries with it all the pturim of bor? Or do I say no? It's chayef to pay, but guess what? It has no category. It's no specific category. Tolosim lafke yotzeben. Chayef to pay, yes, because it's a moment of mazik, but category no, because tolosim lafke yotzeben. That's why the Rif presents the sugya in that way. That he gives you all the introduction, tells you, these are the different pturim. I have a tolda of a specific av, I want to know. Toldosem ka yaitzimem. Does the tolda fall into that av's category? It's part of the list of category of the av, and therefore it's subject to all the exemptions of the av. Well, lav ka yaitzimem. Chayev, of course you chayev to pay. What's the shot? Of course you chayev to pay. Not like Rashi. Of course you chayev to pay. You chayev to pay al tadin klali, but you're not chayev based on the details of the din prati. So this idea that Brisker Rav develops for us, both Bedas Rosh and Bedas Arif, that every time you look at Mazik, you have to ask yourself two questions. Number one, dollars and cents. Chayev or not chayev? That's question number one, but that's not the end all. Once you've ascertained that you're chayev, then you have to re-ask a question and say, now that I know that I'm in general chayev, well, which, if any, categories do I put myself into? And if I can identify a specific category, then and only then am I subject to the kulas and the details of the pturim of that particular category.
And that's the chiddush of the Brisker Rav in the Rif, because you could have that the notion that a tzar shavahen can almost, that's what's machadish, that can supersede the actual.
Right, so that's what the Rif is saying. Toldos may have been that. In the end of the day, they did not. But the Tzal and the Gemara told the same life. It's the same idea.
But because you could have said that Dio or
right, right.
Is going to limit it. So therefore, it's this notion of Tzal. But that Rif doesn't necessarily say that per se. He just says...
Right, the Rif doesn't spell it all the Islam. This is the risk of reading into the Rif.
It says not, it could have been Chatinezik. It could have been lower. It's not that it's worse than...
No, he's saying that we wouldn't discuss any Pturim. None of the Pturim which would carry over would be a Mazik without the Pturim.
Right, but it could still be less. It doesn't have to be...
Maybe different, but not necessarily the details of the Torah. Anyway, Chopanim, those who have a chance, take a look at this Brisker Rav. It's a famous in the Yeshivas. This is where the Vavakama starts, with this Brisker Rav. So, get a chance there. Here at Shem, so we're going to continue on Thursday, right?